I was married from the womb, and I'll die in the marriage.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Defender 7 Thursday night broadcast. I'm your host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Now, before we get on with our show, I have to read our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on the Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defender 7. Now, that being out of the way, again, I'd like to welcome y'all. I'm glad that those of you are tuning in to us. We have a really great show tonight, a special guest with us, what has happened in her life, and then we'll take questions if you have questions, but let's get her story out there. This happened in North Carolina, and anybody out there, in North Carolina, West Virginia borderline, if you're listening, please listen up and help us get the word out. Now, as I explained to Miss Kathy, our show goes not only nationwide, but it goes global. We have a lot of listeners, a lot of law enforcement, and I just hope that we can get some closure to some of the topics that we'll be discussing tonight. Now, I am going to bring on our guest speaker, Ms. Kathy Shaw. Kathy, you there?
Oh, yes. How are you? I sure am.
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Feeling okay tonight.
That's good. Like I said, you know, this is your time to get your word out, and then we'll take questions from any of the callers, if that's okay with you.
Okay, sure.
I mean, this is your show, babe. If that doesn't sit right with you, then we don't have to do callers.
Oh, that's fine with me, sure.
Okay.
I'm just wanting, you know, closure. I'm hoping somebody might remember something, but I was invited with my sister to go to North Carolina, and I was living in Florida at the time, and it was in the 80s, the early 80s, and of course, I went with her. She was going to visit an old friend, and he had some type of trouble. I'm not sure what, but he was incarcerated, and she wanted to meet and buy him a carton of cigarettes and go visit, and I wasn't too keen about, you know, going myself, and I actually wanted to go with her so she'd be safe, and she had another friend that drove. So I got in, and we had got to Caswell County, North Carolina was the town, and she decided to stop, and she went to visit her friend and took the cigarettes. And from there, they drove. We were going to head back to Florida, and they stopped by a little tavern, and it kind of older-looking tavern, kind of like an old-looking schoolhouse type, three big wooden steps and pretty steep up high. It was just looked like an old schoolhouse to me, but when the door opened, I was like, wow, you know, it was just loud music, bad language, drinking, dancing. It was just, I've never seen so out of control as far as a country bar to be like that. And I don't go into bars myself, but, and that's what led me, you know, not that kind. It was just a little too rough for me. So I told my sister, you know, hey, this isn't for me. And she got mad, and we had words, and we were on the verge of a fist fight, actually, because she called me a name. And I said, well, I'm just going to go on, you know, and I'm going to, don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to find a telephone, and I'm going to call my parents. And I was actually headed anyways, as it was, to the Army, and I thought, well, no perfect time. I would walk and find a payphone, and I remember as I took about a few step up, I seen the most prettiest church I've ever laid eyes on, and I kneeled down, and I prayed that I would make it to a payphone, because I had no idea where I was going, where I was at. I had nothing. And so I prayed and started walking on, and it was kind of a rural area. There was just like a few homes here and there, very nice homes and like a few trees, and but a very rural neighborhood. And I was a little bit nervous. I was scared. And I started to walk very fast. It started getting dark, and then it started to drizzle rain. And it just, I had that spook about me, like, you know, out here and never been alone like that and pretty much in the middle of nowhere and not knowing where a phone was or where I was going to, what direction. And I noticed from the left, I all of a sudden heard like a very loud, I knew that it was a pickup truck. I could tell by the noise and by the, it just kept dying out. It was not running very great. And I got really terrified, and I really started to run and down the sidewalk there by the trees. And I seen a few homes, and not very many though, but I knew that he had it started back up. I could hear it start up again, and he started driving up to me in my direction, which I could hear from the left. And I noticed, I looked over to the left, and this guy rolled the window down, very strange-looking eyes, very deep-set, very big, and just very mean-looking, evil, had a red cap on, stringly brownish reddish hair that touched his shoulders, a white t-shirt, and I'll never forget, he was very dark suntan, but just very, the eyes were enough to, you know, I just smelt fear. I was like, no, I don't need a ride, I'm walking, I'm fine, you know. I just said, I'm meeting my family up the road, because I just felt like, you know, something was, I just had that feeling. And I was really, really running fast, and I had, I tripped over my shoes, and before I knew it, he was right behind me, and he had me by the hair. I had long, curly hair, and he had me by the hair, and when I turned around, he pulled a button on a knife, and it just, It was the biggest knife and the sharpest I've ever seen in my life, and I just froze up, and he grabbed me, and he said, put the knife to my neck, and told me, you're going with me, and get in the truck, and he drug me in there, and before I knew it, he pushed me over by him, and he reached over with his right hand, or maybe left, and he held the lock door down. He pushed the lock down and scooted me very tight once again, and I just screamed. I said, "Where are you taking me? What's going on here? You know, I'm walking, and let me go." And I could smell a lot of alcohol, and I seen a bottle of whiskey he was drinking on, and he started the truck, and he drove very, very fast, and I tried to jump at one point, and then he pulled my hair again and pulled me closer to him, told me if I try that again, he'd kill me, and of course, I listened to everything, and I'll never forget the right turn signal that went on, and he went over these, like, little sand dune humps. They were like, they look like baby sand dunes that are in the desert, and I noticed, like, the rocks were flying, sand was flying, and you could barely even see anything from, he was driving like a maniac, and there was about 30 humps that he went over, and way in the corner, like not in a holler, but just in a dead-end corner over the humps, there was a little old brick-like home that had like a white awning to it and a fenced-in yard. And he slammed on the brakes and parked. And I noticed there was two little kids there, maybe about 2 and 3 years of age, and they were kind of white-headed and brown-headed. They were very sunburnt and had nothing on but diapers, and they were eating popsicles and the cutest kids I ever seen. And he said to me, "I'll be back. I've got to grab something. And if you try to run, I can see through here, through the window, and I'll blow your brains out. I've got a gun as well." And there was no place to run. I was pretty much on the corner there in the middle of nowhere, and all I could do was watch the little children, and I even at one point flagged the kids down, and I got to thinking, well, what can the children do? They're babies, you know, but I was so terrified, you know, I would, like, motion them to come towards me, and I noticed next door there was, like, an empty field with long grass, dead grass, and big old, like, towers. They looked like telephone towers. I noticed that plant that was next door, and that's all I ever really seen. And before I knew it, I seen him run out, and he had an old rusty tan bag, and it had a yellow twisted rope with an anchor hanging out of it, and he threw that in the back of the truck with the rest of his, he had, like, paint, tools, rulers, you name it. It was someone that either worked in carpentry, construction, or he had a lot of, like, black on his jeans, kind of oil. And he got in and pulled me again towards him, and he went over those humps again, about 30 of them, and I'll never forget the turn signal. He put another right turn signal on. And then he drove about another, I'd say 15, 20 minutes, very fast. He was doing every bit of 70 or 80, and, you know, very, very loud, loud truck. It had either a muffler or something ready to come off, and the right directional signal went out again. And I noticed I seen more humps, but these were big humps. These were like, they were wet. They were like dirt humps and rocks together. More rocks were in it, and it was very deep down in there, because this time I was pretty well bouncing. He was too. It was very, very bumpety, very. The shocks on the truck weren't all that great, but it was a very bumpety ride. And I noticed a couple to the left were in a vehicle, and they were drinking, and I tried to make a run again, and he grabbed me again by the hair as the door got open and told me once again, you try that again, I'll blow your effing brains out. And then he kept on going deeper and deeper down in there. And it's like he went to the middle, and there just happened to be like a big old rock that overlaid the rock quarry, is what it was, a rock quarry. There was just a overhang of a big rock, and he just parked. He just slammed on the brakes, and he took his gun out. It was a pocket gun, and he put it to my head, and he says, you've got to count to three. He even counted 1, 2, 3 to take your GDMF and clothes off, or you're a dead B-I-T-C-H. So when he started counting, I did exactly what he told me, of course, and I was assaulted. I thought, well, after that happened, I never knew whether he was going to turn me loose or kill me by the rope he had and the knife and the gun, but I was just praying for the best. And I just noticed it was getting dark, and I was thinking, you know, what is he going to do with me? And the fear alone was enough to, you know, I was shaking. I was terrified. And then it got darker and darker, and it was going into the next morning, and he just kept drinking and drinking and loading the gun, unloading the gun, loading, unloading. And then he started beating the steering wheel and yelling that GDMFNBITCH and slamming the steering wheel over and over and over. And the break of dawn, I was assaulted again, and I was made to as well use the bathroom outside, and he followed because I had tried once again to escape. And a few more days went by, and I never forget, you know, people say, well, weren't you hungry? Oh, gosh, no, I didn't even think of food, but I was very, very thirsty. I was on the verge of feeling dehydrated, and I feel like if I hadn't broke away day number 4, I would have never made it alive. I was very, very thirsty, and I felt like I just didn't have enough power to even move. But on the third day, the same thing repeated, the banging, the gun loading, the cussing over and over. He used the F word, the B word, and he was so angry with somebody, and God knows who it was. But I got lucky on day number 4. He drank the rest of the bottle, threw it out the window, and his head just kept hitting the steering wheel over and over and over. And within about an hour, he was totally out. And I contemplated for at least about an hour to grab my clothes and open that squeaky truck door without him waking up. And that wasn't easy. And I just knew I had to do it. I had to get out of there, and I had no really way to know how to, which direction to run, what way, what. And I counted to 3. I counted to 3 myself, grabbed my belongings, and it took me a good 30 minutes to open the door to keep it from squeaking, because I knew he'd kill me once I got out and it woke up and caught me. And I just ran as fast as I could, and I was dressing as I was running, getting my shoes and my everything on, and I just ran. I went straight. That's the only way I knew to go, and it was beginning to be the break of dawn. And after running about a good 30, 40 minutes, I heard the sound of a highway, and I heard a truck coming, like a big truck, and moving traffic, and I just ran so quick. And before I knew it, there was a white SUV that had came and pulled over, I was raising my hands up in the air and screaming, and I was crying, and my clothes were all muddy. They were torn, and I knew they knew something was wrong, and the nicest couple I've ever met, and they told me to get in, you know, do you want to go to the police or the hospital? I got in, and from there, there he was, my abductor at the top of the, he was back at the top of the rock quarry, and all he had to say, and this is sober, he looked at me and said, watch out for the GDMF-ing snakes, and called me a B-I-T-C-H and drove to the right and very, very fast. And I got in the back and I was let off at a gas station is where I wanted to be let off at. And I never said a word to them. I told them I was okay and I just want to go to a gas station to a payphone and where I could get some water. And they had dropped me off there, and I'll never forget, I probably drank about 2 gallons of water the lady kept filling for me in the store, and it was a little old country store and had the big staircase to it, wooden steps, and a beautiful swing in the front, and I sat there for a while, and, you know, I contacted my sister's friend, and she thought, you know, I went back home, that I was long gone from there, and she come to meet with me with a man that she met in this tavern, which I don't know a thing about a man. I told them what happened, and she grabbed me and hugged me and just started crying. And, you know, I chose to walk, and I chose to leave, and it wasn't her fault, like I pretty much thought for a while, but it wasn't her fault. And I just lived a life. I wanted to just crawl in a space and hide forever and never come out of my shell. And I was pretty much, you know, blaming myself. And I figured the walk, and I was in the wrong, and I deserved what I got. But no way. I would never ask for, never. I didn't deserve that. And
no, you didn't. You're very lucky, because a lot of people don't get a chance to break away from their captors.
Yes, sir. I'm very lucky today. I pray every single evening in my prayers that how lucky I was today, because I'm not supposed to be here today, you know, and here I am. I've had a family, and I've taught myself to be strong after just wanting not to go on in life. I tried to take my life over him, and I got to thinking he's not worth it, you know. And I've raised a family. I learned to speak up and come out with this, come forward and get it out of my system. And to beat it all, I was inspired by a very well-known Commonwealth attorney, and I saved a lot of children in Virginia from a pedophile, and that's when I come open, and I come out with all this just to pretty much get victim blamed with all, and to get my past. And, you know, they fought over the jurisdiction of the issue, and I really thought, you know, that I had it made, that they were going to work on this and do something. And, you know, I hired my own sketch artist, and I did the interview and the age progression, and I did a very great picture of him, and I had a newspaper to help me. But as far as the law enforcement, that's all they've done pretty much, you know, and the jurisdiction that is supposed to be working it, they just kept passing it to the one that wasn't supposed to be working, to, you know, and it's been 18 times of passing it, and now it's just sitting in a cold case file outside of the opposite jurisdiction. And,
yes,
you know, doing nothing.
That's what
so
I was hoping you.
How,
that's what I was hoping you would delve into, is what the police did and didn't do.
And they had accused me of, you know, asked me if I provoked it with any type of see-through clothing. And no, that wasn't me. You know, I was headed, I was an Army person. I still am. And I come from a very good family. And I wasn't even allowed to, well, I do, no makeup, no short shorts. I mean, my daddy was full-blooded German. And my mom, oh, God, she was very strict. And I was a very good girl. And I dressed like any other typical, you know, person. I didn't show anything or no, that wasn't me at all. I was very much a lady. And, I mean, I was asked things like, I had one, the detectives asked me if I was a party girl, if I went in that bar. And but I'll tell you today, I figure a lot out, and I've worked on this a lot. But I feel like I was followed from this tavern. I feel like it was somebody in there drinking that had followed me from the tavern that seen me walking. And I've had a few persons of interest based on the guy I found that was in there with my sister, and I had described him. And I've had a few persons of interest, and one of them really set it off. He, because my blood pressure went sky high, and it was unreal when I seen his face. And I found out there was three brothers, and they all look alike, and they've all been in and out of prison, and they're very rough guys. And then one was mentioned about another one, but, you know, how could I be sure? You know, I begged to drive in when they had him to do a lineup, and I never even got an investigation like that, a lineup, nothing. Or I would have done it right there and then when they had him. And they just showed a picture of me when I was young, you know. So how of course he's going to say, well, I've never seen this young lady before. I have no idea who she is, but if I could have got to drive in and did a lineup, you know, and it was the right one, say, I would have done this and got it done. But I never had really any kind of investigation. Now, I was taken to Burlington, and they did the black and white sketch, and I was interviewed there about everything that happened and the name of the rock quarry. But I, on my own, hired the same sketch artist that fingerprinted Otis Toole, Adam Walsh's killer, and he's the one that brought him to justice. And when I took the sketch and the age progression and I matched it up as well with a person of interest, it had a lot of similarities. It was unbelievable. But this case should have been so easy to solve. You know, I did it perfectly on the nose, the face, and it was like he aged this in the matter of, oh gosh, 20 minutes. He drew the sketch, and he had it 3 hours of drawing it and 20 minutes, and I did the whole interview. And being a small town like that, this should have been easy to work, you know. It was just unreal the way the investigation took place. It was like I was nothing to them. And, you know, if I was taken from the rock quarry or the jurisdiction I left from, it's just a skip and a hop away. I mean, why didn't the one that started with it, you know, finish it? And they had a meeting, and it indefinitely belonged to Caswell County. And they passed it 18 times over state line, over the line, and they have been into it. And I know the one county said, well, you need to man up and take this case and get it over with. This is not our case. They've had meetings, everything, and they passed it again. So it is sitting now in the wrong jurisdiction in an outside file cabinet, just sitting there. And, you know, that is just not, that's not good. And I'm worried more about there could be a lot more women out there that wasn't so lucky like me that didn't escape. And I know that there was a lady that did a measure of the women and men missing in the surrounding area of the Virginia state line and North Carolina. And there was like 2,000 and some. And he was classified to be a serial killer by the behavior analysis and Project Cold Case I deal with a lot. And he said these type go all over the world, and they go to different places to get their victims. And I just know in my heart he was evil. He was a serial killer. He had intentions on leaving me down there dead, and boy, I fooled him.
Right. Thank God you did. Are you ready to take on a question?
Yes, sir. And
okay.
I'm not just doing it for myself now. I'm wanting to see whether there's possibly any other victims out there, or I know I've had 8 that have actually texted me that have got missing in the area.
Sure. It's, you know, that's why I was so glad when you contacted me wanting to do your show. Because the more people that listen,
you know,
the more people to hear it.
Yes, sir. In my opinion, I believe if a woman got out there even in a 2-piece swimsuit, that it's no reason to be abducted and be taken to be murdered. It is no reason, period.
No.
I dress like a lady dresses, and I'm just, but you know, no matter what she has on, like I said, even if she's half dressed, that it's still no excuse. And it's just no excuse for it to, you know, be treated like, I mean, you're talking a murderer, you know. He told me he was going to kill me, and he sure had a lot of weapons. He had a gun, he had a knife, a rope, and I really believe he was going to kill me and leave me down in that water under the rocks is why he got that rope and that anchor. And
right.
Another way, the big old truck had a long tail bed. It was grayish blue, very old, and there was paint on it, ruler sticks, tools. He was somebody that was into construction, carpentry, painter, possibly even the rock quarry, which the detective did go to the rock quarry. He took me there, and he talked to somebody in the office, and he left me out there at where this happened, and I know why he was in there. I got quite a bit out of me at then. I knew that I was out of there, and he could no longer hurt me, and I was just screaming at the rock quarry, and I was, you know, it's not like me, but I was using bad language, you know. You can't ever get me again. I'm here. I'm out. I'm alive. I had my few minutes with the rock quarry, and I've been back as it is about 3 or 4 times. I just had to go back. I had to go back and to pretty much look down and just scream and pretend he was down there. I was, and know that I got myself out, and it done a lot of good for me. But to this day, looking at rocks and being near a rock quarry, no, I just can't do it. But I have I suffer a lot of depression and PTSD, and, you know, I'm very nervous at nighttime, and I've got watchdogs all around me, so I'm not worried a bit. I have a German Shepherd, a Labrador, and I became very strong. I'm afraid to carry a weapon, you know, but my son checks on me quite a bit, but I've just lived a life like no woman should have to live. It just, you know, I used to lock myself in my bedroom and always have a plan. A ladder at the window, a little stair step, and the window open where I could jump, and the phone in the bed. I'm just a very nervous, uptight person, and he's done a lot of damage to my life, and I can admit that, but I'm just glad that I didn't take my life over the son of a gun, because he's not worth it, and he will never be worth it, and I'll admit it has wrecked, you know, my marriage. I just had a hard time staying married and being happy. Everything to me was like, it was like an assault. Does that make sense? I had to relive this over and over, but I'm doing very good right now. And I write a lot. I write a lot about everything, and they say writing helps, and it sure does.
Yes, it does. Now, if you're ready for questions, anybody that I just put on here, do you have any questions?
Actually, Kathy, from the time that you were captured and the time that the police got involved, was how long?
Excuse me, ma'am. What did you say?
From the time that you were captured and you got away, when were the police involved?
Yes. I come forward. It was like 20 years later.
And then they took you back to the area 20 years later?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow.
I was never coming forward. I was never going to come forward. Never, never, never. I blame myself. And to this day, I've learned one big lesson. It was not my fault. Mm-hmm. But I would never get out there and walk again. And I teach women now against jogging, walking, safety. And I just, you know, was raised old-fashioned. And I had... Well, she's not listening, but my mother said that I asked for it out
she's
there
listening.
Walking. And
she's listening. You aren't at fault. But
yeah, I just broke down crying. And to this day, it still bothers me. But, you know, when you're raised old-fashioned, it's probably the same thing, I would say. I had a very strict, you know, bringing up and... I really thought, you know, I guess I got in a severe depression, especially when I come forward, because they were like, you know, accusing me, victim blaming, and you know, being told that I asked for it walking. No woman asks for that, even if they're out there half-dressed. But I'm just lucky, you know, that I'm here today, and I had my kids, and I was able to... Pardon me?
What made you tell your story?
Well, the more I get it out, I feel like I can help more people. And the more I get it out of my system, believe it or not, I'm not shy anymore. I love to talk about it. I write about it constantly. And I wrote and wrote and wrote. I have right now like thousands of pages I wrote. And I've done podcasting and hoping that maybe one day that somebody will remember something and I could help another missing one out there that possibly is missing in the area. And I love getting it out of my system. Like I was telling Woody, when I kept it in for so long, I really did. I tried to take my life, I'll admit it. I took a bunch of medicine and put it in my mouth, and I said, nope, that's not me. I didn't do this to myself, and I'm not going to harm myself over this loser, and I spit everything back out. And I've got a hatred in my heart for men, and I shouldn't be like that. You know, I should be enjoying dating and going out places and being in a man's company, but I'm terrified, you know.
And this is 1982, correct?
Yes. And I feel I've just started living when I come forward and got this deep, dark secret out. It was like a time bomb that came out of me. It was just, I can't explain it. I just can't explain it. But
and how old were you, Kathy, when that happened?
I was 25.
Wow. Thank God
I was never
voice,
really.
Thank God you got your voice.
And see, I did a lot of work on a pedophile in Virginia that got a lot of kids, and I worked that case so hard. One was a relative, and he committed suicide after he was taken and assaulted. He killed himself over what happened, and I thought, you know, no pedophile is worth killing yourself over. It's just, you know, I'm somebody. I'm someone's mother. I'm someone's daughter, and I just feel a whole lot better about myself. You know, I'm learning it wasn't my fault, and I'm not going to be accused of dressing, you know, like a, I felt kind of like a tramp the way they talked and asked if I was a party girl, if I was inside this tavern. And that's the reason I was walking, because I didn't want to go in the tavern. That's the reason I was walking, you know. I was very much a lady. But I don't feel a whole lot better, but then I do for opening up. It's just that I feel, you know, I was victimized all over again, you know, and nothing ever happened. They didn't even, you know, just passing the case, fighting over it. Now it's just sitting. I mean, I'm a person, not just a number. Does that make sense?
So when they took, yeah, absolutely. So when they took you back to the area, they did nothing after that? Like, they had to be familiar with that area. Law enforcement, I mean.
Oh, to the rock quarry. They went inside.
Yeah,
the detective that was working my case, he went inside to the office there where the rock quarry was, and he asked some questions, which I was never with him when he did that. I stayed by the rock quarry. I got a lot out of me and a lot of closure just standing there. And then he took me in the car to Burlington, which was about another 30 minutes, and I talked to them and told them everything that happened, and I did the sketch in black and white, and that was it. I went back home, and I think I might have got two or three calls in about a year and a half, and I would call, you know, and they would tell me things like, you know, we're still investigating. And then after not getting any calls, I knew that there wasn't much going on. And when I called, and then after a year and a half, almost 2 years, he was like, well, this case don't belong to us. It belongs to the other county. And I'm like, wow, you know. And that's when I got my own sketch artist and started investigating on my own. I got my own sketch artist. And I had a newspaper that was very nice. It was the Eden's Journal. I don't know if you know. And they've got a picture of him in there and the age progression. And the forensic had did the CD with me and the sketch and all that. I took a lot of this on by myself because they never did anything. I never hardly got a call back.
Are you aware of any other victims from that area?
I just know that I had about 7 or 8 Texas. I know there was a missing girl up in one of those areas and another missing mom. I had some ladies to text me about their families that were missing. One was a mother, one was a sister, and there was a boy not far from there missing. And I just know the surrounding counties that there's, like from the rock quarry where it touched the Virginia border to North Carolina, that there was a lady did like a map thing and checked all the missing. There was quite a few in the surrounding areas that were missing. And I feel like, you know, if there's some that weren't as lucky that got to escape like me, you know, one lady had wanted the rock quarry drained at one time. She petitioned for the quarry to be drained, but they've never done a thing. But the worstest thing of all is the fact that my case is just sitting in an outside cabinet in the wrong jurisdiction, and they're still fighting over it. And it was scheduled to be done by Caswell County. They've passed it again, and they're just fighting over the jurisdiction.
And Caswell County
either
is North Carolina, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And the sheriff and detective through Rockingham County, they had said to Caswell County, well, you need to own up. You need to know that you need to man up and take this case. It belongs to you. And they just, you know, nothing. And, you know, I had a face and a sketch done. It cost me $3,000. That's what's in the newspaper, the Eden's Journal, the sketch. $3,000 to do all this on my own. And do you know the Bureau, the other county, they actually laughed at the face. They said, oh, he made it too dark and all this other stuff. And was he a Mexican? Was he this and that? I said, sir, he was someone that was tan, very tan, and the sketch artist wanted him to be tan. But they actually made fun of the face, and I heard one say, well, where's her $3,000 face? Let me see it. They were awful. I'm not the least bit, you know, I was telling Woody that in all of them, three were Afro-Americans on one side, and the other was an Afro-American, and one of them retired. The other one moved up to Highway Patrol. The other one walked out, and he was the white guy that asked me if I was a party girl and if I was in this tavern. And that's what really struck me, calling me a party girl. And then
that
there was
actually
a
my next
fourth
question.
One.
Do you know what happened with the officers that were involved? That was actually my next question, if they were still
well,
in law enforcement
one,
or not.
Yeah, the fourth one moved up to, I believe, Human Resources, the State Department. And one of them's retired. One of them is Steve Perkins. He started with my case, Steve Perkins, and he now does Highway Patrol. He used to be narcotics. He went from rape cases to narcotics. Now he's state highway.
And this was 1982 until now?
Yes. I really believe that this man was about in his late 30s, early 40s at then. I believe this man has done this since possibly the early 70s on up. And, you know,
God knows how many more victims were out there.
Yeah, the Eden's Journal, I don't know if you know Lisa Doss at the Eden's Journal.
I do not. I'm not familiar.
She was very, very nice to help me. She actually published an article and, you know, put the face in there. And I had another advocate that was petitioning to drain the rock quarry. They never did that. And then there was another lady that actually, like an advocate, you know, as far as helped me to do a few podcasting. And
so do you know or have any idea the last time someone was at the quarry?
Well, they said that this quarry has been open for a long time, and I noticed when I was taken down there, there was a couple partying and drinking, and that's when I tried to escape, and he grabbed me by the hair. And they said it was always an open gate there, and I know it's been recently fenced in, but they say this was a rock quarry that everybody went to, and they partied and drank and, you know, did drugs and they said it
I'm
was a hangout down in.
Is what I'm wondering. You know how quarries lose water over years? So since they didn't drag it, I'm wondering if possibly that area has lost water and something may be visible.
All right. The last I heard, well, I was taken to it, but the last I heard was it was fenced in and somebody owned it. And I don't know if that's true or not, but they just, you know. But I heard it was the biggest
and what,
party
what
place.
What year do you think that was, Kathy? When they fenced it in, what year?
Well, I heard they done that actually about 8 or 9, 10 years ago. And I actually, one of the ladies that wanted to go in and dig up the quarry and drain it, she petitioned for that, and I also have a like a change.org petition, you know, to sign to reopen my case and all, which that's never happened, but I had over 2,000 and some signatures to reopen my case, but I do know that she mentioned she talked to this man that owned it, and he said, we've had divers come in here, and there's no bodies in this quarry. And she's like, well, if you had divers in there, we would know about it.
Public
it would
record.
Have been in the paper.
Public
record, right.
Bobby, are you familiar with the area?
If it's the rock quarry I'm thinking about, yeah.
So that would mean someone personally bought the property and fenced it so that you can't have outside people.
Right.
I was always hoping to go back one day and try to find that house and, you know, the everything, but I just, you know, I've been back 3 or 4 times, but just to go to the quarry and scream at it pretty much, but I did scream at the rock quarry. I got a lot out of me, and it really did great, and I don't use filthy language, but I was just so relieved to get out, and I was so angry at him. I was cussing and everything at the rock quarry. And, you know, the detective was in the office at the time, and I wonder he didn't think I was crazy. He'd come out and see me screaming at it. He would have thought, God, this lady's lost. But the nightmares have gone. I don't have any more nightmares, and I was having them every night for years. And I become into a severe depression, and I even went and got some help, and I just, nothing helped, and I knew that I had to get this out, and, you know, I write a whole lot, but I wrote a lot of things, you know, like just manuscripts and poems, and I drew his face and threw darts at it, and I've done everything.
You should probably learn how to shoot a gun.
Yes, ma'am. You know, that's the sad thing. I was raised so sheltered. And, I've touched a gun once in my life. I was raised so sheltered by my German dad and my mother. Oh, my gosh, were they backwards? I was raised
my
too
father
strict.
Was German, so I know.
Yeah, that's why, honey, as quick as I got my high school diploma, I went to Florida, got a job, and made on my own. But they're strict. You know, I got the belt pretty much for everything. And, you know, it was like I just wanted to get away from. Oh, I have the best daddy in the world, mother, though. No matter what, you know, I understand now that I don't know if I'll ever understand
it. You have your own children,
that,
correct? You have your
I don't know
children.
If I'll ever understand. Yes, ma'am. I have 2 boys. But I told my boys
what?
Now that they're. When
go
they
ahead,
were
I'm
18,
sorry.
I told my boys. Yeah, I told my boys now that they're 18, everything. And it's like if they go anywhere, I'll, like, check their tires and make sure they don't. I'm so afraid that, you know, they're young, something bad's going to happen like it did to me. They're going to break down in their car. I'm always checking the gas tanks, especially the tires. But I just live, you know, a life where everything is so secured and safe, and I'm always a step ahead. I'm a very sketchy person.
So,
and I've got dogs like you wouldn't believe, and do you know a needle can drop, and that, my German Shepherd. Oh gosh,
nothing
see,
better.
I got a black. I think my Labrador is better for like hearing noises. My Labrador.
Mhm.
But the German Shepherd is very good-minded, and that's why I have a good mind. I've got a really good memory, and see, my dad was like that. He was German, but I can see that man right now in my face, every inch of him, and I just know exactly what he looked like. I knew every little detail to do this face, and there is a website you can go to. you know, see the face and the age progression. And the Eden's Journal has got a, now I had a CD that Fox has got. Fox News had got my original CD of the forensic visit, and I never got that back. See, they wanted to air it live, the face and the age progression, and the sheriff, you know, they were so corrupt, they wouldn't let them.
Wow. So is there any advice that you could give a young, innocent male or female at this point? I mean, you've been living this your whole life. Is there any advice?
Oh, gosh, yes, I can.
You did nothing wrong that
day.
Oh,
yes, I can. Please, please, please,
what?
Young ladies, do not
what can you tell them?
Get out there and walk alone unless you've got a weapon, or walk with somebody. Or, and the other thing is there's so many nowadays, I see so many women that are going climbing in the deserts and the mountains and the state parks. Oh, my gosh, it's just not safe. I know,
so
there's been two or
safe?
Three.
What makes you safe?
I
what
wish I would have carried a gun.
What can you tell me to tell my daughter or my granddaughter or my son? This will keep you safe. What would that be?
Oh, gosh, don't go alone or carry a weapon. Or take a watchdog. But I just, if I had to do it all again, you know, but I just can't blame the fact, you know, this is America. If you can't get out there and walk without getting picked up like that, it's crazy, you know. It's just,
but unfortunately,
and it's getting worse.
Bill, that happened in 1982. This is still like today, unfortunately.
Yes. And it's just much worse
that's
now. Everything.
Yeah. I have.
But I don't live anymore in a bedroom. I lived almost 15 years in a bedroom locked in, and I don't do that anymore. I've got my dogs. I'm not afraid at all because they can hear a pin drop, and oh my gosh, they're at every window. They're like army sergeants.
I have a golden, and he's been canine service trained, but he has anxiety, so he actually can't get his paperwork. But I understand what you're saying. My dog is my safety. But it's important for us to get out the message.
I love animals, though.
But it's important for us to get out the message. Yeah, we have to get out a message of what we can do differently. That was 1982. So we're still not doing something right. And unfortunately,
and anymore, it seems like they're tripling the pedophiles. They're on every corner now. They're watching, you know, women. They're watching their activity. They're watching when they're alone at night. They're watching their pattern, and that's how they're getting, you know.
Criminals are
better
than us.
I think that's partly because they know they can get away with it.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Don.
Yeah,
how are you?
I think criminals are becoming better than us. And like you said, Kathy, you're one step ahead because you have been made to be one step ahead.
And look what they're doing now. They pat them on the back. These pedophiles, these rapists, they're out in no time. They might go and serve, you know, a year or two, and they're back out on the street again.
They're not even serving that, and everything's handed to them to go back into the world to victimize someone
else. They get three meals in there. They get it all, commissary, and some like it in there. I got a person I know, an ex-relative. Yeah, I have a person, an ex, my ex brother-in-law's brother. He's been in there almost his whole life, and he said he likes it in there. And I'm like, wow.
that's
everything
because they can't put money out stores.
Yeah, just
now, everything is free and they don't have to work, you know.
Yes, and now they have computer access.
They unfortunately they have more white jobs.
You know, another thing that I had found out too, and when I did come forward, there is no statute of limitation in North Carolina on kidnap and rape. There is no statute of limitation.
No, there
that
is not.
That just and I couldn't believe it, you know, and I'm like, wow. You know, I did. I even wrote, like, to I wrote three senators, House of Rep. I wrote the governor. I wrote so many about the situation, about my investigation. And the only thing I got from the governor was, I'm sorry, seek an attorney. And I'm like, an attorney for what, you know? But that's all I got was, I'm sorry.
Interesting. And this is still happening today, and we have nothing. We have nothing. There's nowhere to go with it.
But I don't know anymore what to do, how to get it out, and how to open this up, and how to look for others, or I just don't know what how to go about to do it. You know,
but you are.
I just wish I could. Yes, ma'am. I wish one day to have maybe possibly like a cold case detective, or it'd be nice, someone that cared or showed some effort, but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
You said that there were other women who went through the same thing in that area?
2,000 people.
A lady, an advocate, she got on computer and she went from Virginia to North Carolina, and she went to like all the surrounding areas.
West Virginia.
And she,
right, West Virginia.
From Virginia to North Carolina, and she got she went on to the missing site and, you know, found a lot of missing, and it was way up there in the numbers, about 2,000 and something, and I'm like,
yeah,
all the
I saw 2,000.
I guess my question is, they all had the same method. What's that word I'm looking for? Like they were all taken the same way you were, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, against their will.
Right, just vanished. Now, I did hear something. I heard something maybe about 15 years ago that a couple of men, not one, there was two men, that drug a lady from a telephone company where she worked. They followed her, and they drug her in a rock quarry, and she escaped. I heard, and I heard no more. I didn't get any more information. And this time it was
2005?
Two men. Yes, it was two men, not one. It was mine was just one, but it was two. But evidently, I believe a lot had went on in these quarries, and I wish that they would have, you know, back then had fences or at least locked them up. But
that's why I think someone personally bought the property and fenced it in.
I was surprised that, you know, anyone could even go down in these places like that because they're dangerous, especially children. And oh, yeah, he said the lady had asked the one that bought it, the advocate, something about draining it and searching for it. And he's like, no, we've done dive. We've got divers. There's no bodies down here. And he just kind of hung up.
Yeah, there was no public record, though. No public record. It sounds like someone personally bought up that property.
Exactly. That's that's the feeling I get.
Yep.
To keep from people from going in and searching.
Because if it's
that's what Wow, you're smart. That's what's-her-name said, too.
Thank you.
the lady had said that as well, that somebody took that over to keep it from being searched. And I'm like,
absolutely.
You know, that does sound like
something. That's a good possibility, especially when you said how many have just vanished. I mean, they may have been human trafficked, or they may have been just raped and killed or whatever there. You know, you don't know because they're vanished.
Oh, gosh, I never thought about that. That could have been a place where they took,
yes.
You know, kids and all that, where they, oh.
That's, see, when
and
people
right
vanish, yeah. You don't know where when people vanish, you don't really know what happened. So if they were to actually search that quarry, I'm assuming it's one that's filled with water, you know, if they were, or whatever, if they were to truly do a real search with, you know, body-sniffing dogs or whatever, they might find somebody, some, you know, dead bodies, or they may find nothing, in which case, where did all the bodies, you know, where did all these missing women, children, or whatever, disappear to?
Right, that is, you know,
yeah,
and the fact that this man had, like, black all over his jeans, it could have even been an employee of the rock quarry. And
sure.
He could have had maybe a size.
I don't know that he would see black there. That's
and there
could have
been tunnels.
Mechanic.
Tunnels?
It sounds like
divers.
Car.
Or
a
cave
what?
Diver.
Yeah, he
cave
had.
Cave diver.
Charcoal, yep, charcoal. The coal.
Yep.
Yeah, he had like
a around those
of black.
There's
like,
caves.
Yep, that's what I said.
Like,
sorry.
I'd be very interested in knowing who owns that property.
Oh, she's cute. Are you? You'd make a good investigator.
I think it's very interesting that property was fenced. I would be interested in knowing who did that. There's a paper trail there. That's public record.
Yep.
There's more than
you
one
person
that was
whether,
over there.
You never know whether, you know, they even... Right. You never even knew if they knew who this man was or covered him up. Or, I mean, why wasn't I allowed to come in and do a lineup when they had him? It just don't make sense.
Oh, it makes sense.
And it was just a person of interest. And I said, well, I'll drive in, you know, let me do a lineup or at least look at the face. And
yeah, somebody didn't want to do their job on the inside.
But now I don't reckon anything is going to happen. It's just sitting in the opposite jurisdiction, and it's in an outside file cabinet is what she told me, the secretary. It's in an outside file cabinet.
So if you want to hear my opinion, you know what an outside file cabinet means? It was buried. They failed.
Yeah, I was telling Bobby that I got my case back. They gave me my record back. And the only thing it said on the case record was it had rape and nothing else. It had nothing about the kidnap, nothing about the guns, the quarry. It had nothing. It was one piece of paper. I've got it right in my purse, and it said rape. That was it. That was the whole record.
Bob, I think you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, you were failed by law enforcement, and I think it's an inside job.
Yeah, and she was victimized on top of it.
By the people that were supposed to protect her because they were dirty.
Right.
Do I
it's
have any rights with no... Right, with no statute of limitation, do I have any rights to go back on them, or... Do you see any negligence, or?
Oh, I see tons of negligence.
Yes, most definitely.
From the outside, I see it. And what you have to do is you have to prove the negligence. Who failed you? You have to prove that. You have to have paper trail. You have to have paper trail to who bought the property, who made it private.
Right. That would be just probably a long, withdrawn process that never went nowhere.
But I'm just saying that that's what needs to be done.
I mean, yeah,
there's a reason why. I'm sorry, go ahead.
As far as going after them, yeah, that's a long process. But getting like Dawn just said, paper trail of who owns the rock quarry now, that's public knowledge. You just go to the records department and say, I'd just like to know who purchased rock quarry such and such.
And who owned it prior? If the state owned it, and it went to a private owner, two names you need. Who owned it prior? Who owns it and put the fence up? Who protected it? It's going back
and
to
I'll
the
bet
same
you...
people. I'll put my yeah, it's going to the
yep.
same people.
Yeah, they said
yep.
it used to be the biggest party. It was the biggest party place of the whole area was the rock quarry.
But that's irrelevant. Who protected the quarry? Who?
Right.
And
anything open
you...
like that?
Yeah. The person...
And I bet you, searching that stuff, I bet you find out that one or most of them cops are involved somehow, some way with that rock quarry.
I'm thinking higher up than law enforcement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking probably the governor.
Well, I had called the SBI and the FBI, and they said they don't get involved in that kind of stuff. And I'm like...
They have to be invited.
They have to be invited.
And it depends on who pays your salary, Kathy. I mean, be honest.
If it's cross state lines, then, you know, they don't necessarily have to be invited. But you have to prove that it involved multiple states. Or that it was a serial
North Carolina,
thing.
Virginia. North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia.
So if he brought her across three state lines, then the FBI
would
have a valid reason for getting involved.
That was the investigated areas.
Yeah, I don't understand. Then I mean, like I said, if it was only one state, then, yeah, the sheriff or whoever it is can turn down the FBI. But if there are multiple states involved, she's not sure, you know, if it crossed state, if that guy crossed state lines, then the FBI could theoretically get involved without actually being invited.
Kathy was not taken across the state line, though.
Said that there were three states that were
investigated. They were investigated for missing people.
Yeah, they were like passed.
Kathy was not right.
Oh,
Kathy did not
yeah.
go across state line.
Okay, right. Then yeah, they have to be invited.
Yeah, it's a paper trail.
Yeah.
Kathy, I think you're still going somewhere with this. I think your voice means a lot.
Oh, thank you.
It's important for us to still hear details. I mean, again, you're brand new to us, but now it gives you something else to look at. You find the paper trail. Who owned the property prior and who owns it now? Who made that property private? Who? And I think you may be headed in the right direction. Someone bought that property.
Right. That's my issue. I've lost so much faith in law enforcement and getting any legal things done because everything, it seems like, don't you agree, they cover it up.
I'm a big law enforcement backer. So I don't want to say that, but in your specific case, they failed. They failed.
Oh, yes.
And that was, again, 1982. I sure hope then people are not employed currently.
It was just, I don't know.
They shouldn't still be currently employed, right, Bob? 82, and they were in their 30s?
Small towns like that, they could go on until they're 70 years old. It all depends on who the sheriff or whoever the sheriff is or whoever the chief is.
Yeah, 82, that's a long time.
Yeah, but you
but it could be a relative.
Oh, the sheriff.
The sheriff retired.
Actually.
Did he?
See, Fox News wanted to air the face, the sketch, and the age progression, and before the sheriff retired, he wouldn't let him. And after he wouldn't let him, he retired a year later.
Right?
Sheriff Welch was his name, Sheriff Welch.
And that was 2011?
Yeah, about that time. And Fox News has got my CD. They got the CD, the sketch, everything, as well as the newspaper. They wanted to put it out there, the face, and the sheriff stopped it. And that was just, I don't know why, but he retired after that.
I'd be inquiring about your CD.
They don't even keep them anymore.
Oh, yeah. He had mentioned he's going to send back a copy, so I'm still waiting, but he said that before and never sent it. And I should have never sent the original. I will never do that again and trust somebody.
Because it's outdated now, Bob.
She ain't getting that CD back.
It's in the outside file cabinet.
It could be, but there's always that chance, especially a good journalist.
Yeah, you need paper trail.
I always thought about it, but I'm not much of a, I'm a writer. I like writing, but I always thought one day it'd be nice to publish something, a little old book or something for myself or just... It'd be nice. It'd be the way they would probably open up and see that story, the only way.
True.
And the only way is you.
You and I were talking earlier today. I told you that's – I'm glad you reached out to me to get your word out because it's too many cases like this are happening too much.
And to younger children without a voice.
Right, right. The younger children that don't have the voice that could speak up.
I mean, I
noticed there's a lot of people now podcasting and speaking up on their own to get justice. They're not waiting for law enforcement. They're doing everything on their own now. I've noticed that. Like Lindsay, you know, Michelle.
Yep.
And it's getting out there. You know, the word is getting out.
Yeah, you have good cop, you have bad cop. You have good people, you have bad people. I mean, we're not ever going to change that, but you coming forth with your voice helps us. So I can turn around to my babies and say, yo, listen, this is what Miss Kathy told me. And I would never, obviously, give your story, but you need to be cautious on what you're doing. You need to have a voice. You need to speak up. If something's not right, you had a gut feeling that day. You didn't go with your gut. When you walked in there with your sister, you had that gut. Into the bar, correct?
Oh, yeah. You know, they say that There's a law in North Carolina where it's the only one in the whole U.S. where, like, if a couple's together and say he gets violent with her and she tells him to stop and he can continue, it's not considered, I mean, like, it's not considered anything like rape or abuse. He can continue once it starts. Does that make sense?
No, no. Don't.
No. But I was saying you had a gut feeling when you were walking in that this was not okay. Even though you went against your gut, you still had the gut feeling.
Oh, yes, yes.
So that's something that I can pass on to my children and my grandchildren. Listen to your gut. Instinct.
That's
again,
what I always
you
say.
Mind or...
you didn't
that's
do anything
it, that...
wrong, Kathy.
No.
I'm not saying
you were
that.
Victimized twice.
Right. But again, a lesson that we can pass on is I had a feeling, didn't think this was right. I went with it. Didn't work out well. And then, after, and I'll be kind because you're Southern, the POS violated you. You were re-violated through law enforcement.
Right. It
again,
would be nice, though, if...
You did nothing wrong.
You know, no. If I ever did find a cold case detective, I'd be glad to share everything, and I'd let them work on it in a heartbeat, and hopefully, I hope that they never let this happen again.
I just think you should look into who bought the property.
Yes.
I think that was something positive that came out of the show tonight. Who purchased that land and why?
And who owned it before?
Mm-hmm. Before and after.
Yeah, probably someone pretty corrupt.
Somebody is protecting something there.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It really does. It's
yeah, it does.
Like something's
and
in
that's
that
why,
place.
And that's why you having a voice is so important. You come on a show, you don't even know who you're talking to. I don't know you. And people just throw ideas out there.
Yep.
I don't know if there's any more from North Carolina listening, but I guess maybe they'll... let you know later.
It's a global show. It's global. You never know. Again, we just nitpicked in the last, what, half hour? You never know.
Exactly. I mean, we do have a lot of followers, and our group alone, we're trying to build in all 50 states, Kathy.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I'm not a Southern,
wow.
Southern Belle, though.
You're a South Jersey Belle.
Yeah, I'm a Jersey girl. But again, I mean, that voice means everything.
Oh, yes, yes.
It means everything, and I think we got a positive out of this show.
Yes. And hopefully we had a lot of law enforcement listening in, especially from North Carolina.
Maybe the detectives on that took my case.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably scared.
I think they're retired, but I think one of their children might be in law enforcement. Or some relatives. Usually down south, usually it goes for generations.
Yeah. And Kathy, if I could do anything for you too, you got my numbers and all. I'm always here. And I live in South Carolina.
Oh, do you? Oh, okay.
But if you ever need to talk or anything, or you ever need me to try to find something out for you, don't hesitate.
Or just come back on and share again, Kathy. You never know who is listening.
Right. Right.
So whenever you want to share your story, you just come back.
Yes. More than welcome back anytime.
Okay.
But I think we moved in a positive direction, unfortunately, from your story, but I think there's a trail there.
Yeah, I
hopefully
think you're right
we
on that
have
one.
Someone listening that's from
Yes. And like I said, with us not only going national, but we also go global. So somebody out there somewhere knows something. And
yes,
hopefully
I believe so.
the right ones will speak up. But yes,
I definitely, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I definitely think there was a positive that came out of tonight, Kathy, from your story. I think that there's still something there that can be found.
Am I the first
and again,
one that's had this type
of conversation? No.
No.
We've been on many trafficking and missing people abused domestic, but we've been on many calls, and there's always something positive.
Wow.
There's always something positive that comes out that redirects it, because different people listen to it at different times. Just like you're trafficking with our immigrants now, you have them coming in trailers. So, I mean, everybody has a different profession that we bring to the table. So you bring in stories and other people send that information out, and it helps people. It helps. So you made a difference.
Oh, why, thank you. Yeah, we have a lot of people coming in from all over, and don't know if they're, shots with them or...
There's so much underground stuff we just don't know.
Oh, gosh,
but
yes.
Again,
I believe. Oh, yeah.
We need people's voices so that we get it out there.
Well,
so I did
the best I could.
Hey, and
thank
you're
for
still
your strength.
Doing the best. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I appreciate
you're
your strength.
You're one strong woman.
Thank you so much.
I think
and
you
again,
should go
you
forward
know,
and write a book.
What's
that?
I said, I think you should go forth and write a book. My cousin was kidnapped when she was younger, and she was trafficked, prostituted, and they wrote a book about it. And that book is called The Minnesota Connection.
I'm buying
it.
Mona, send it to me.
Send you the book?
No, the name of the book. I
the
will
what?
Sit and read it. The name of the book?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, put it in
Messenger. All right.
Yeah. I mean, voices matter.
Yeah, the names are changed in there, obviously, but
that's what we need to
advocate. I would be
for.
Very good. I could be good at writing, but I wouldn't be good at, like, the editing and proofreading and publishing. I wouldn't even know how to.
I'll edit for you for nothing.
I think somebody can do that.
Yeah, I can edit for you. Free of charge.
Oh.
Just get it out there.
Yeah.
If you said that was a part of your healing and it's on paper.
Oh, I love writing.
And you've been doing this since 1982, writing. It'll help someone, Kathy.
Yes.
If it reaches one person.
If I ever knew a good author, I guess, what's it called? Arthur or journalist
you.
Or writer.
You.
I would.
No, you.
I'm not very great. I just.
You could do it all.
I could do the manuscript.
Yourself.
I could do a good manuscript, and that's about it.
You have that voice. You've already written it down. Doesn't have to be edited perfectly. It's your story, yours. And someone else has the same story.
It would be cool to make it into a book one day. Or I had someone mention something about, I had a psychic lady that actually seen that I was his first victim, and I think she tried to do, she mentioned something about pitching it to a movie, and I'm like, I'd hate to ever think of that as a movie. It just kind of, I mean, I guess it.
Unfortunately, your nightmare would be someone else's strength. You lived the hell, sorry. You lived it. So that could be something for someone to grab onto and go, Miss Kathy made it. I can make it too.
Do you really think there are people that are actually psychic? I mean, I just wondered how.
Yes.
They...
Yes. I do.
Yes.
That is neat.
But,
that's like a intuition.
Right. So, again, you go back to instinct, gut feeling, predictions, what I've lived through, what you lived through. So all of it comes into play. But do I believe in psychics? Absolutely.
Yeah, she told me I was his first victim. She was the same lady that actually she was involved in that Casey Anthony case.
Mm-hmm.
That found the little girl, and she did find her. That's why it was hard, you know, you have to believe it.
Yeah, I believe it, but that's my personal opinion. I believe it.
Yeah, me too.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I
me,
am
me
a
too.
But instinct person,
just...
you know, I believe in my gut. So if someone has a story to tell, tell it. You have a story to tell, Kathy. And you overcame it. Some other little girl.
Yes, I'm a very lucky lady today, and to have my children and to come out alive. I'm very lucky.
Some other little girl needs to hear your story.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll see one walking, you know, and I used to try to pick the girls up. Mom said, you know, they could try to get you for kidnapping yourself. You don't know how people, but I keep an eye on a lot of kids, you know, and watch when they're walking or, I mean, every little thing. I'm very, I guess, sketchy.
That just happened,
you know, very.
That just happened in a That just happened in a town close by me where a guy was asking, I think she was a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, questions, and luckily they were smart enough to take pictures of the guy, and nothing came of it, but his face is all over Facebook now.
Oh, good, good.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your story, ma'am. Somebody needs to hear it. Oh,
thank you.
Yes. And just like Dawn said, you know, anytime you want to come on here and talk about it, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, you can't tell that story too many times. That's not getting old.
No.
Someone's still learning a lesson.
Okay, I sure will. I'll remember that. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
No, thank you
thank
for
you.
Your story.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your strength.
Yeah, and your inspiration. I mean, like I said, we get a lot of people that do listen. They might not call in or whatever, but we do have a lot of followers, and they're from different states.
Maybe I can help another one out there, you know, not to make the same mistake
right.
like I did, get out there and walk by yourself.
Well, it's not
right.
just that, but it's not just helping somebody else not to get caught. It's to help somebody else to have the strength to speak out or just
Absolutely.
To keep going after their experience.
Absolutely.
You know,
There's
sometimes this is
knowledge.
Awful to say, but sometimes I would get out there to walk just to go to the corner store where I would love someone to follow me where I could scream at him for a long time. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah.
I would love to walk to the store. I would love to walk to the store around the corner, and I had it happen once, someone to follow me, and I just would turn around and, you know, do you want a ride, young lady? Oh, my gosh, I scream. And I got a lot out of me. I felt so much better.
Yeah, they took a piece of you that, you know, during that time, Kathy. They
that's
took a piece
my,
of
that's
you.
My
understandable.
That's my closure. Walking.
They took power away from you that day. You took your power back.
Yeah, I've had a very nice chat tonight. I was really tickled pink to do this, and like I said, every time I do it, I get more out of me and just feel a lot better.
Sure. Get it off your chest.
Yeah, it's good to know. And it helps us with raising our own children.
Exactly. Because we're all...
There's
all...
some sick people out there.
Yes, there is, and it seems to be getting worse.
Very, very deranged. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought raising my own children was hard. Raising my grandbabies is even harder.
Yeah, I know. I know that feeling.
It's even harder. But thank you. I'm going to go do my son's laundry.
Oh, thank you so much, guys, and... You all have a great night, and if you get any questions or any more or anything or anyone contacts you, wants to know anything, feel free to get a hold of me.
Yes, I will. Yes, God bless you, Kathy, and I really do, again, appreciate you for sharing your story tonight.
I got one quick question.
Welcome.
I got one quick question. So when all of this happened, got a frog in my throat, sorry. So when all this happened, did you have somebody to help you go through this at the time? Like your parents? Or...
I did. No, honey, I didn't even tell anybody. I didn't tell a soul, but my sister knew that was it, and I didn't talk to anybody. I went on to work, you know, and every day, and staying busy and working is what I could never sit still. I had to keep going and going and going to keep from thinking about it, but I never got this out. My sister only, that was it. And I really should have went, you know, and talked to a counselor, but I just, I did it on my own. And
that's why I brought it up. It's something very, very bad to go through by yourself.
Oh, yes, it is. And keep that buried inside. Oh, gosh. It's like a time bomb waiting to get out.
Exactly. Yes. Always find somebody to talk to.
I had a lot of anger I carried. I had a lot of anger.
You don't sound angry to me, Kathy.
Not now.
Yeah, you don't sound
well, like I told Bobby, I had that jasmine tea tonight to kind of calm down for my show.
Yeah, you don't sound
angry. I had
some
jasmine tea. No, I'm a very good-hearted person. I'm very quiet and very, I don't show a lot. I think I'm strong because I've got that German in me. I'm just tough. But I don't
obviously
show a lot. Does that make sense? I'm just so
yep
strong inside. But I sure did go off and cry a lot and scream a lot and scream at the rock quarry and scream when nobody was around.
Well,
well,
just sound at peace with
it inside. Yep.
Yeah, you just sound at peace. And that's
yes,
good to know
I
you're
so good. I wish I would have never done that.
You sound like very good people. I hear no anger when you're speaking, so you've done a great job healing yourself.
Oh, thank you so much.
No need.
And again,
right,
and again, Kathy, if you feel like you're having a rough day or whatever, reach out. I told you, several of us on here and in the group are suffering from PTSD ourselves. And it doesn't matter what form of PTSD. PTSD is PTSD.
It's 24/7.
Right. Oh, yes.
All right. Everyone have a great night. Kathy, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Oh, you
thanks
too. And thank you guys so very much. And God bless y'all.
Yeah,
God
thank you very
you
much for sharing. I'll keep you in my prayers that things eventually get resolved.
Could I thank
everybody
for being on tonight? And Kathy, again, I thank you for your heartfelt story. And for those of you that are listening, especially around the West Virginia, North Carolina border line,
it
help
was
us get this
Virginia.
Story out.
Okay.
Virginia, I'm sorry. But yeah, Virginia, North Carolina border.
Oh, I really had a nice night. This made me feel a whole lot better. And thank you guys. I'll let you get back to your children, grandchildren, whatever. And
all
thank
right,
you,
dear
lady. I like you, too. The lady's very nice. And you call me anytime you'd like.
Yes, and you got my number. Like I said, you need
okay
to talk. I'm here.
Okay, Doc. I got it. Just find me a cold taste detective. I'll be happy. You know.
I would love to be able to, and I'll tell you, I won't stop.
There's a lot, though, that don't want to fool with that stuff, though. There's a lot that don't want to fool with that. But then again, there could be someone that possibly from there may be listening that you just never
well, sometimes,
know.
Sometimes somebody
you never
likes
know
a challenge.
You never know. All right.
Well,
God bless
everyone,
you
have a great night.
All right.
Turn on your porch lights. Turn on your porch
yes
lights. Good
oh
night.
Oh, yes. Good night.
I just put my doggies to bed. Good night, y'all. Have a nice
all
one
right. Good,
bye-bye.
You too, Kathy. Well, folks, that ends our show for tonight. I really appreciate all the call-ins and the participation. Dawn, thank you.
No problem.
I know you're. I thought you left.
I was waiting for the closing.
Okay. So anyway, thank you again, Dawn. Thank you, Lorna.
Yep.
Everybody have a great night. God bless America. God bless our troops, our first responders, our veterans, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Amen.
Good night.